1958, a small community in Pennsylvania, they built a little red brick building that was meant to be their combined police and fire station. They were proud of that building, and it was the result of sacrificial giving and careful planning. When that building was completed, there was a ribbon-cutting ceremony, and around 7,000 people, the whole town was there, about the size of Dunnville. It was the biggest event of the year, and everyone was excited. Sadly, less than 2 months later, they began to notice some large cracks on the side of this red brick building. Sometime later, it was noticed that the windows, they wouldn't shut all the way. Then it was discovered that the doors, they wouldn't close correctly. Eventually, the floor shifted, and it left ugly gaps in the floor coverings and the corners. And then the roof began to leak. Within a few more months, this building, which was brand new, it had to be evacuated. And that was to the embarrassment of the builder. And the disgust of everyone that paid for it, the whole community. An engineer firm was hired, and they found that the building, it was built over a coal mine. And so building on a coal mine, that causes instability. So beneath the foundations, there were small shifts and changes that caused the whole foundation to crack. You couldn't feel it or even see it. But under the surface, there was deadly erosion that was going on. And this was causing instability, which finally led to the building having to be condemned and demolished. So we're looking at build your house on the rock. And on this Father's Day, I want to encourage us fathers, but everyone here, to build our lives on truth so that we can enjoy the fullest life possible. Jesus is encouraging us in his word to have open hearts, hearts that obey him, trust him. And then there's a warning to those that do not follow him on his terms. And Matthew 7 is one of the most challenging chapters in the whole Bible, I believe. When I look at our world around us, it needs the influence of fathers who follow Jesus on his terms. Reverence for God gives man deep strength, right? All of us, deep strength. So when I'm talking about mankind, we need that kind of leadership. And we need the strength of our Heavenly Father, like Aaron mentioned. But we need fathers and mothers that love Jesus. And those that aren't parents. Because often this day, it's not a happy day. Right? Because we've lost loved ones. And sometimes we're not fathers and mothers. And there's all kinds of things going on underneath, right? That causes us instability. And that's why we need to build our house on the rock. So what's the difference between the rock and the sand? So when you're building on rock and the sand, and if you look at this slide, the house on the rock, you can see on the left, or whichever side you're on, and then the house on the sand. Have you ever stood by the waves on sand? And as the waves come in and the sand starts to shift and you get sucked into the sand and you start to get unstable? Has anybody ever done that? You can really see that there's instability. And there's a difference between the foundation, between being built on the rock and being built on the sand. Jesus used the best illustrations. And we learn that only a life that's built on a strong foundation leads to stability. Over and over again, you can see in the lives around us. And we learn that God's word, that's what leads to stability, because it's true, it's living, it's powerful, it's the final authority. And then a life that ignores God and his word, that leads to destruction. So we're going to look this morning, how do you build your life on the rock? And that's God's truth. So the first way is you receive the truth. You hear the word of God. So we look at our five senses here, hearing, seeing, touching, smelling, tasting, feeling. But these are the spiritual senses that we're going to look at more this morning. And it's hearing. And it comes when you get a new heart. And God works in us to reveal himself. And we know from Romans 10, 17, that faith comes from hearing the word of God. The good news is heard through the words of Jesus Christ. And when we look at this text, Matthew 7, it's convicting and it's challenging because it starts with, we're not to judge others, lest we be judged in the same measure. So we're to be very careful. And there's a lot of warnings. Because we know that we're to judge, but we're to be very, very careful. Because God is the final judge. And we're preparing for judgment day. And you won't hear that in the world today, that there's consequences to the way that we live. But there is. The Word of God shows us that. And Matthew 7 really reveals, as you look at Matthew 7, look at your Bibles. It talks about the narrow and the wide gate in verses 13. And Jesus warns right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that he says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Then he warns them that there's true and false prophets. So there's false teaching. And it's all over the place. And you have to test the truth to know that it's the rock, that it's something that you can build on. That's stable. And that's why it's a reasonable faith. And that we really need to investigate truth. Is it true? Can you live your life on it? It's so very important. So Jesus warns them in verses 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they're ferocious wolves. He says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And then he says, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And he gives examples, right? And then there's this warning that we don't like to read, but they're there. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Then he talks about true and false disciples. And this is probably the most convicting of all. When I read this, I remember the first time I read this, and I'm like, wow. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And that's why in Colossians we're talking, this was a young church that understood that they had to do the will of God. They had to follow Jesus on his terms. That in our lives, as we approach judgment day, that we can prepare for it by asking the Lord Jesus, asking the Holy Spirit, what is your will for me now? So instead, just like with young people, when they look at what do they want to do with their lives, I encourage them, ask the Lord Jesus. Ask God. Because that's what's important. That's the one who can help them, truly help them. Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Wow. That is something to prepare for, right? Are we doing God's will? Then he moves on to the wise and the foolish builders. And he ends his sermon with an illustration. And it ends with a great crash. Jesus had the best illustrations. To build a house on solid rock means to be hearing. And it means to be a responding disciple. Because it says right here that you could be a false disciple. Someone who really isn't helping the church, you're actually hurting the church. And you're not doing God's will. And that comes by just simple prayers that you ask. And we know in the Word that if you ask according to God's will, and God tells us to ask him. Earlier on in the chapter, it's talking about prayer, and I talked about it the last number of weeks. And that God the Father and the Lord Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. Come to him. And then he's not going to give us a bad gift. It says he's not going to give us a snake, right? Or a stone when you ask for bread. And he's not going to give you a snake when you ask for fish. He's a good father, and he gives good gifts. So we have to understand, when we look at this text, what are some of the similarities that we notice between the wise and the foolish? Because it says here, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. So the similarities, they're hearing. Both of them hear. But there's two different responses. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, and we've been looking at. Like, we're learning, we learn, we prepare, and then there's a response. And life is about your responses. Lots of people hear different things. But do they listen? And do they respond? And that's a wise person. And a wise person learns from other people. They're listening. And then often in my life, I learn by my mistakes, but it's a lot better to learn from other people, isn't it? So another similarity is that they're both searching out a foundation. Because if you look at this text, it tells us that they both were. But then the rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. And we know the house on the rock. It did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. And there's a warning not to build our foundation on something that's unstable. And there's so many different teachings today that are completely unstable. And so they both had testing, right? The rains came. It was a vigorous testing. It's the kind of testing that shows if you're stable or you're not. One stays standing, and the other, like the fire police house, it falls because it's on unstable ground. So when we look at the differences, there's a number two, right? One is wise, the other is foolish, and that's shown by their actions. But it begins in the heart, right? The wellspring of life is in our heart, and we're to guard it. And the entire key to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 to 7, and you're just getting the end here, is to blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the spiritual beggars, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Spiritual beggars are wise because they recognize their own emptiness and their own need. They're poor in spirit. So a wise builder, one who's a spiritual beggar, they come to the Lord and they say, how shall I build? And then they begin, where shall I build? They ask the Lord. And that's what we need to do in our lives. Prayer is powerful. It depends who you're praying to. But we pray to a good God. And we know there's all kinds. This is a supernatural, spiritual world where the powers of darkness are real. And the church needs to wake up. Because this is just not a natural world. This world is a battlefield where we need to be in the Word of God. And it shows if you're building wisely or if you're building in a foolish manner. So the second clear difference is one of them hears the words of Jesus and obeys. Right? They build on the rock. And the other ignores or refuses to believe, or for whatever reason, doesn't trust the one that can give the wisest advice possible. So one survives the test and the other does not. So how do you build your life on the rock? Because we live a certain amount of years, and we do need to prepare for judgment. And then for eternity. And we want the best life now, don't we? But we need to be heavenly minded. That we're living life. So at the end, when we come before Jesus Christ, don't we all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Because we had confidence that we did his will. And we enjoyed the fruit. We bear fruit. We don't earn fruit. Salvation came by grace, and we live by grace. And it's just about enjoying his presence. And so if you turn to James 1:19, I want to start at James 1:19, because there's a remembering. And especially as we get older, we forget, don't we? And it's remembering first, and then you can respond. So look at James 1. Powerful words here, because these are words that many didn't want this in the Bible. Because it said it made them feel uncomfortable. And they thought it was too works focused. But what I'm going to show you over and over again, and I hope you're getting it, that it's who we are in Christ. The being, and then the doing flows out of the being, who we are. So James 1:19 says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so common, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. In our hearing, I think it's like I know there's not many TV antennas now. Does any of you have a TV antenna still? Yeah, they're not too common, but for good reception, you need to have it in a place where it's wise, right? And so same as for our reception. For good reception, we must be quiet. And it says in here, quick to listen. We must be calm, so that we're gentle and that we're not causing others to be defensive. And that's tough, isn't it? I struggle with that. As far as just living like Jesus, filled with the Spirit. So being relaxed and resting in Him. And it says getting rid of all the evil in our lives. And in Father's Day, I think about the junk, like it's males and females, but fathers, pornography. It will destroy you. And it does progress. And if anyone, like I said, please approach me, talk to me. But that's a real, real issue. And then it says, remain humble with an obedient heart. And humbly accept the word that's planted in you, which can save you. So these are heart attitudes, or they're soils. You spread it, like Ariane's a grower. You spread seed. And the same seed goes out, but it goes to the heart, or the soil. And it depends how you prepare it. So we need to prepare our hearts to receive the truth. So, second, reading the truth. You receive the truth, you read the truth. And so you're using your spiritual eyes. And once you become a believer, God opens your eyes. That's why I was encouraging my friend to be in the Word, and I'm going to walk with him. He asked me to be his guide. And I told him about the Holy Spirit, but humans really need other humans to encourage one another, right? That's why we celebrate Father's Day and Mother's Day. So it says in James 1, if you keep it at verses 22 to 25, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at it, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into God's perfect law or his word receives freedom. And he continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. He's the one that's going to be blessed. Because it's his response. And we know throughout the Bible, faith is what pleases God. We have a responsibility to respond wisely. So the purpose of a mirror, it's to evaluate yourself, right? I think men more than, I mean, way less than women. I don't look at a mirror very often. Maybe I should. But the purpose of the mirror, it's to evaluate ourselves. It's not merely to glance. Glancing does rarely, it doesn't really make a huge difference. It doesn't change you. You need to look at it intently. That's why when James looks at, and he compares the word, when you're looking in a mirror, and you need to look intently, and you need to learn and then respond. And I've been encouraging for the last, you're going to hear it and it's like a broken record. But if you're not in God's word, I mean that you're like, it may be a duty at the beginning, but it turns into delight. It turns into a lifeline. It's everything. You are on unstable ground. Just because we say we're a biblical church, but if you're not hungering for God's word, please, just, that would be the greatest blessing to me. It's just taking the time. Because how I have been blessed, you get a blessing and you get stability when you're in God's word. And that's why as far as whatever reading plan, I don't care what you do or what manner, but it's getting exposed to God's truth, his word. So three is researching the truth. And that's using your hands and mouth. So it's about writing things down, journaling, talking about what you learned. That's why we meet at life groups. We understand that we learn usually in smaller groups because we can discuss it. We can talk through it. And often, for many of us, writing it down. Right? Even as I'm studying for a test, I write a lot of things down. Whatever works for you, but find a wise way that you can learn. It says in Acts that the people of Berea, they were open-minded, and they searched through the scriptures day after day. And they were known for searching out the truth. And I really believe that you'll remember what's important to you. Number four, we need to remember and review the truth. So meditating on God's truth. And really, when you look at it, the Bible term for remembering and reviewing God's word is meditation. So it's really just memorizing important truths, going over them over and over again. James 1, 25, if you continue on, it just says, the man who looks intently into God's perfect word, he receives freedom, and he continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. He will be blessed in what he does. And if you look at the last one, so we receive the truth, hearing it, then we see it, we read it, and then we study it, we research it. Then we remember and review, we meditate on the truth. And then we respond lastly by actions. It's in our lifestyle. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. We need to do what it says. And the acid test of love is obedience. So how does God's word stabilize and transform us? The truth sets us free. It really does give life to us. It gives us a fresh start. The Bible says that we must be born again. And that means it's just simple prayer, but it's understanding that you're a sinner. And what Jesus has done for you. And as you pray, God just works inside you. And he gives you new life. So that's all as we hear and we respond to God's word. And it's like, God's word is like compared to a seed many times. And once it takes root in your heart, it begins to sprout. And it begins to grow. And then you begin to bear fruit, and you see good changes in your life. God helps you despite all the difficulties that come. And they do come, because now you have an enemy. You have an enemy that recognizes you as a child of God. You're born again. You've got life. But you need to grow. And there's other passages that I could show you, the warnings that come from those that are so vulnerable when they make a commitment or a decision. And then they seem to fall away. So we need to grow. So the truth sets us free. It eliminates our condemnation, our shame, the bad guilt. We have convictions, but these convictions are specific. And there's not the general condemnation that comes from God. That's from Satan. That's from our sinful flesh. And that's from the world that leads you, the system that is evil. And if you're not really sensitive, and if you're not on stability, on stable ground, you start falling for the lies of the world. And there's many. And they give you a lot of guilt. But you know what the word does? The word cleans you from the inside out, doesn't it? It cleanses us. And so many people are now burdened so much. But Jesus tells, he tells all of us, come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. Romans 8 tells us really clearly there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. But many of us were being attacked. And we have to understand that is like we're being attacked. We have opposition. And I'll talk about that in more in other weeks. So the living word, the rock, the truth, it activates our faith. It gives me confidence. It gives us confidence as we trust in the authority of God's word. So many people today are not confident at all. I'm just talking openly. They're fearful. They're scared to death. And that really weakens us when we don't understand our identity and our authority that we have in Christ and our future that we have with Christ. So we understand here that faith comes from hearing the message and then you respond. And this is how God, he's the one who gives us faith and he encourages us along the way and he gives us direction. So the word stimulates my spiritual growth. It's through the word. And it's through books that honor the word. And this morning somebody gave me a book back. And this is a book that points us to the word. And we need to be listening to music that worships the Lord. And we need to read books that encourage us to put first things first, to build our lives on the rock. Number five, the word illuminates my mind through the Holy Spirit. And there's so many passages in Psalm 119. And everyone knows, right? It's the longest book or the longest chapter. But it's all about the Word of God, isn't it? And there's powerful passages that I could comment on. But we know that the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. And God helps us by turning the light on. He's the one who does it. And it's like a flashlight when you're carrying it and you're in darkness. You put it on and you just take one step at a time. And as you walk, more and more is revealed to you. And God helps you along the way. And that's just like the Word is. When you're in the Word, you stumble on things. And you think those are by accident? No, because the Holy Spirit is helping you. He's teaching you. He's comforting you. He's counseling you. You have the best counselor in the whole world, the Holy Spirit. But often we're just not sensitive to him. We just need to take one step at a time, like that flashlight, and just keep moving forward. Six, it elevates my mood. Many of us need a mood elevator. How many of us need to be lifted up? Like, at times in our life that we just need to, right? We need it. We're humans, right? Often, like, yeah, I'm feeling grumpy or I'm discouraged. And God has given us his word to encourage us. And I'm thankful that many of you are in the word. What the whole point is it's about understanding that the word was given to us as a gift. You know how much of a gift it is that we have a whole of God's word? It's just, it elevates our mood. And it encourages us. And then God's word liberates our potential. God alone knows our potential. And he helps us along the way. Only God, our creator, knows our potential. No one knows your potential, not even yourself. Ask the Lord what he wants you to do. Have that peace. Have that joy. Have that love. Have that purpose. so that you can live life and you have no regrets, that you can be confident. And then when things shake and everything goes on around you, when people are making choices, people that you love, that you're able just to help them as much as you can. And then they have that peace. So God knows our potential. So how do we practically get all these benefits? I just want to quickly show you four ways. These are the most practical. And it's about learning first and then accepting and facing the truth. And then you just move on from there. That God is God and we are not. We cannot control things. When we do it very badly. Do you agree? And we have to understand that the world, that evil system, that does corrupt us. And that's why Jesus says, don't let the world pollute you, corrupt you. There's warnings. And then we understand that change requires new thinking, that it's about being, renewing your mind, being in the Word, and understanding it starts in the mind. And remember, then it goes to your feelings, then your actions. That's common to all humans, but often we're unstable. So where do we go first sometimes, especially in our culture? Our feelings. When, no, the battle is in the mind. And it's about being who you are. That's why that memory verse, Colossians 2, 6, and 7, that you remember that. That God's the one that's doing it, and because God does it, we overflow with thankfulness. We respond. It's so important. And then I talked to you in other weeks about the importance of community, right? Gathering together, life groups, mentoring, coaching. It's so important in our lives. And then lastly, look how it ends. It ends with living out the faith. You have to learn it first. The being comes first, then the doing. And that completes our faith. And that's what the Bible says. It says it over and over again. That we were saved by grace and we were saved good works. That should be our fruit. That we're to bear fruit because of who we belong to. And when Jesus had finished these teachings, in verses 28... he says, the crowd was amazed at his teachings. Look at Matthew 7, right at the end of the passage. Because Jesus taught to them who had authority and not like the teachers of the law. And so try to really focus on this because this is really important. That he gets us to focus on the teacher, not the teaching. Focus on the Lord Jesus. He's the one who's got the authority. So as I end, at Maple Creek, we need to learn to love and learn and then cheerfully live out God's word. And that you're here for a purpose. And so ask God to show you his will for your lives. I know for me, in the morning, Daily Hope, Rick Warren, some of this message came directly from what I'm learning and how I'm trying to live that out. We need encouragement, daily encouragement, and you get it different ways. D.L. Moody, if you remember, he lived over 100 years ago. He said, the Bible was not given to us to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. The Bible is not just meant to inform us, but to transform us. And that's why it's so important to delight yourself in God's word. Enjoy our time on this earth and live confidently, knowing that you have a purpose and that life isn't about us. And that's why I like the purpose-driven life too. The purpose-driven church, I don't care what you call it. Get our eyes focused off ourselves. Otherwise, we're just complaining, we're bickering, we're miserable. And we all fall to it. I fall into that. I'm human. You're human. So let's encourage one another to connect and to grow and serve the Lord Jesus. And then to allow Him to transform our lives as we commit to build on His truth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm just thankful that we can just hear from Your word. We can hear from You, Holy Spirit. Help us. There's so much that we need to learn, and then we need to respond to You as You lead us, Holy Spirit, as You lead us, Lord Jesus. We know that You're in heaven, and You're reigning, and You're interceding for us. And we're thankful that we're never alone, that You're always within us, leading us, and that Your grace is sufficient. Help us just to live out the faith that You've given us. And help us to build our lives on You, Lord Jesus. You are the living and the written truth. Help us to find our ground that we're building on, to be on You, Lord Jesus, and on Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.